Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
So let me pray as well. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the glory that you are revealing in this day. Thank you that everything is progressing towards your ends, towards your resolutions, towards your plan, towards your goals. Thank you that you are restoring things and you also are changing things which are not of you to reflect your heart. Lord, I ask you to give me clear my thinking now. I feel really foggy and just things going on physically. I ask you to bring your energy through so that your heart and your presence and your truth is what's expressed and that you are the center of our community. So we just ask you to do the incredible things today that you desire in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things that we're all very concerned about as individuals and even as a country now with all the things that are happening is freedom, right? I mean, freedom is a massive thing. And so now we see, you know, our country was founded on a desire for freedom, you know, leaving Europe, leaving kind of the constrictions of the politics over there, the king, the whole idea of out of England, and then they were in the Dutch for a bit, the pilgrims that came over, and all the things that occurred historically, you know, this was kind of the magnet for freedom for people from around the world, and it continues to be. I mean, there's a lot of folks that want to come into this country, and a lot apply for asylum or apply to come in legally, and so there's an incredible waiting list for that, right? And also folks that come in across the border without waiting for permission to come in. So freedom is an incredible thing for our country. Also individually, freedom is a very important thing, right? I mean, anytime you're in a situation, right, where you sense freedom, it's a great thing. And where you feel like your freedoms are being constricted, that starts to get, you know, constricting. Right, you start catching your breath and you don't feel as good, and you start, you know, your breath gets shorter and you feel more tense and just all sorts of things. You know, how am I going to react to this fact that my freedom is being constricted? So freedom is a massive, massive thing for us. And so as we go through today, we're going to talk about one person in the scripture that is a kind of a hero of the faith, even though this person is not named in that way, but really is a hero of the faith. So we will process that today as we go forward here talking about this. So the thing, if you want to flip to that, Jerry, to the picture. That's okay. So we'll flip to that. So Helen does some great photography, and we'll have a chance to put up a picture here. I was, this is kind of an open topic Sunday, so I was thinking about this, and I felt like the Lord wanted us to talk about freedom. And so separately, she had come up with one of her pictures with the beautiful leaves, which isn't it great to be right about peak color? Isn't it beautiful? I mean, I'm just driving around just enjoying all the driving. And I'm kind of praying for no frost so that things stay up longer, you know, because it's just so beautiful. But, you know, now that the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And then if you want to go ahead and flip back, Twyla, to the scriptures we're going to start with. So the thing that came to mind for me was Galatians 5:1. Okay? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Right? So it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So let's unpack that a little bit here. So sin and rebellion against God, all sorts of the junk out there, being selfish, other people being selfish, you know, all the negative things that hit us, right? And we learn about them as we grow older and older. We start seeing more and more implications of things. When you're young, if you live in a good family, right, you don't sense a lot of the difficulties in life. Then you start seeing people, you know, doing not good things to you, right? You start trying to figure out what's going on here. You see yourself in the situations where you start getting greedy and selfish or whatever. And you go, okay, what's happening in that process, right? So as we grow up, we start seeing more and more things that are occurring that we're kind of wondering, okay, We're starting to understand there are things that are freeing, that are liberating, that are healthy, that are good, that are honorable, right? And there are things that are not. And there are things that are a mixture of the two. Situations, people. A mixture, right? We're always walking through life figuring out, okay, in what areas is this person healthy, right? In what areas are they not? In what areas am I healthy? In what areas do I need to grow, right? Where are the places where I need to operate in a better way? And who can I look to then to try to give perspective as to how to get there? Who are the people I can kind of trust their thoughts and opinions, think through with them to figure out how to become more and more healthy? So it is for freedom. You know, Christ is the ultimate, you know, person that determines. He's the standard of freedom, right? He's the standard of freedom. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that as we ping back and forth between he and who we're going to talk about today. So, but Christ always prefers us to be moving and to be achieving into freedom, into being upright, to being in control of our own destiny inside the Lord, right? To be able to be confident, to be able to make choices, to be able to be in that place of being generous and giving and loving, right? Because there's plenty there for us. There's plenty of love from God there for us. So freedom, Christ has set us free for freedom and to share that freedom in God with other people. Stand firm then. So in other words, this is not something that's just natural and automatic. We have to choose to stand firm. We have to choose to build ourselves up in this thing. We have to choose to put our energy and our efforts into standing firm, into being consistent in these things, into being having our passion moving in that direction. So it's not just an automatic thing, right? This is something we have to choose and do. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So, you know, move ourselves into the position with God, letting His kingdom be the center, and then we don't want to be reverting back or allowing slavery to come back in, whether that's, you know, passions that are unbridled, you know, stuff we do that we can't control, whether it's demonic attacks, whether, you know, we're getting attacked, depression, or other things that perhaps have that demonic element to it, the demons are after us, you know, the anti-God forces, right? Any area that we are not moving towards being free in Christ and allowing His presence and everything else to come into us is an area then to really target and think through and to pray through, right? And to talk through with believers, to get scriptures so that we step into that place of freedom and so that we are not then being pulled back into the difficult places. So that's Galatians. So, As Jesus would talk about, and again, when you think back, there's many different kinds of slaveries that we deal with, right? So it was literal slavery back when Jesus was around, and for most of human history, in most cultures, slavery's been normal, right? It's been part of the process. Okay, it is not here, thank God. And we want to continue to move that direction wherever we have influence, because that's the important thing to do. But there's also slavery to sin, right? There's slavery to being in rebellion to God. There's slavery of not being, trying to focus ourselves on Him and love Him, right? There's emotional slavery. If a person is caught up in judgments against themselves, if they're caught in a lot of shame, if they really don't like themselves, right? That's also a slavery. If they have a certain way of dealing with things that come in, if they are not able to analyze emotions or situations that occur to them, think them through, pray them through, talk them through, and then learn how to process and move positively in to make changes or to affirm things, right? Then that's a slavery, because they're kind of caught in a reactive position. Like I always have to react to what other people do to me. I can't ever really make my own choices and do my own thing, right? Okay, if a person feels that way, boy, we don't want that to stay, right? We want them to have power to step out and go, yes, I am powerful in the Lord, and I'm going to make choices, and I'm going to affect people around me. It's a good thing, right? So there's many different kinds of slaveries that go on. And so as we're talking through today, kind of think those through in your mind. You'll let the Lord, let the Holy Spirit talk with you about what situation you're in or what you've seen or what a friend of yours is going through or somebody you're very concerned about whoever God calls to mind, even somebody distant, right? Just process through as we talk through now the facets of what God is saying in these situations as we talk through. We're going to talk today about Jonathan, okay? We're going to talk about Jonathan Seaver. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I guess we're not going to talk about Jonathan Seaver. Well, I mean, Jonathan Seaver is a great guy, but we're going to talk about Jonathan, the son of Saul, King Saul today. All right, so, Pete, are you booing back there? What's this here?
I thought you were going to talk about Jonathan Seaver.
Jonathan Seaver? You thought I was going to talk about Jonathan Seaver? Okay.
All right.
Well, we want to hear Jonathan Seaver do a sermon again one of these times.
Amen.
That would be awesome. Amen. So, Lord, we pray that you give him strength and healing to be able to do that. In Jesus' name. So let's talk about Jonathan. All right, so here's the son of the first king of Israel, right? And Saul becomes king. And remember, God was a bit conflicted about putting a human king over the people. Right? He did it because the people wanted a human king. God said it would be better if you left me as your king and didn't have the human figure of a king controlling you, but I will do what you choose to do. And so he put Saul. Now Saul was a challenging person. There's some great things about him and there's some really not good things about him. We're going to see that as we talk through Jonathan. So think about Jonathan here. Okay, so back in that day, and in human society, you know, as a whole, the king grooms his own son, his firstborn, to take the kingship. So the natural inclination by everybody around is to groom that eldest to take the kingship, right? Okay, that's the thing. So Jonathan was brought up in the sense that, yes, the next path for the kingdom would be for you to become king. Right? Now again, it's Israel, the people of God, so you always have Yahweh having an effect on this, and yet still the kingship kind of implies it's going to pass to your son. So Jonathan is an interesting person now, and he comes in and does some incredible stuff. And so Twyla, if you want to put up 1 Samuel 14, 11 through 14, good. So Jonathan, at one point, the Israelites are caught. And again, the Philistines were the superior military power, right? They were down kind of the coast by the Mediterranean there. They were down on the flatlands. And the Israelites were up on kind of the hills and the mountains, more in the center, generally, and down in the desert. Okay, the Philistines at this point would not allow the Israelites to have any ironsmiths, so they could not basically do iron, which was the military dominant technology of the day, for, you know, spears or swords, right? So the Israelites actually had to go to the Philistines to sharpen up even their farming implements, you know, their plows and their everything that they were using. So they had to even go down there, right? And so the Philistines basically kept the military supplies very low into the Israelites. So they were basically, kind of under the pressure of the Philistines. And so the two armies were camped. They were in a bad place. The two armies are camped apart. And here's what Jonathan does, okay? I think this one he takes off without telling his father, without any approval. So both of them showed themselves. This is when he takes his armor bearer, his young armor bearer, and they now go up towards a Philistine outpost for, you know, kind of controlling the pass, controlling the way they needed to go. So Jonathan's going to do this. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the hole they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me, the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor-bearer killed some 20 men in an area about the size of half an acre. Okay. So, this guy takes off with just two people against an outpost, at least 20, probably maybe more. He crawls up a cliff where he basically can't walk up. He's got to crawl up with his hands and his feet. Okay, if any of you do that, you know how exhausting that can be, right? Okay, then he comes on trained army people up there on the top, right? The military power comes on them and he kills 20 of them. Basically, he strikes them down and his armor bearer comes behind and probably kills him. So, and again, war back then is brute force. It's strength, it's power, right? It's your muscles, right? Except for probably slings and bows and arrows, it's swords and spears and shields. So war is force. So Jonathan does an incredible thing here, and he basically demonstrates here that he's got incredible bravery, that he's an incredible warrior, he's powerful, and he's willing to take the initiative, and his person follows him, his armor bearer follows him. His armor bearer didn't back off and go, you know, I'm not sure this is going to happen. The rest of the army basically is kind of like pretty much cowering in holes. It talks about them, a lot of them hiding in holes and not wanting to go into this fight against the Philistines. And so Jonathan steps up and in the face of the adversity moves up and says, I'm going to step forward. You know, what is God going to do in this process? What's God going to do? I need to step forward. And those marry together. What's God going to do? I need to step forward. Those things join together, right? That's where we want it to be. Where do you want to go? The question is not so much what do I want to do and then how is God going to support that? No, it's like, God, God, if you say directly what to do, I'm going to do that. If you don't, if I see a need, I'm going to start try to fill it, right? Until you shape that or direct it. But if I see a need for love, for honor, for truth, right, for presence of the Lord, I'm going to try to fill that need, even if I don't hear directly, until you direct me otherwise in some way, right? That's what we do. That's part of having freedom. Part of having freedom is to say, if I see a need, I'm going to go ahead and step into it and let God shape how I operate in that process. But regardless, it's like I want the kingdom of God to be built. I want God's presence and God's power to be the first, right? It's really a powerful thing because that gives you freedom then. That gives you freedom to say, I need some time to recuperate here. I need some time. I need some space. I need some me time to process with God, to get settled in. I need some time with my friends. I need to head with my friends and talk about the Lord. I need to have some heart-to-hearts. All right? That's a good thing too. Maybe it's time for me to go out and do witnessing on the street. Maybe it's time for me to do this. There's just all sorts of things that can be done when you're operating in freedom and love and honor, and the presence of the Lord is coming through you, whether you feel it or don't. It is, right? He's so much bigger than we are. So our feelings often or sometimes indicate, but it's more the sensing of his presence than it is anything. But even that, he's here way before we and bigger than us. So even if I don't sense his presence, it's still here. So I just operate that it's here, period. That's what faith. Faith, being certain of what you don't see, right? Faith, Hebrews, right? So here's Jonathan demonstrating leadership, demonstrating fitness to lead the army in the field, demonstrating the kingly qualities that men respect, right? And so here's Jonathan doing incredible, incredible things. So he's positioning himself to do the good stuff. There's another story here which is really interesting. And it's really interesting. So in another campaign, basically, they were attacking the Philistines, and before they started winning, and Jonathan had already left, and so he didn't hear this, but King Saul, his father, said to the army, don't eat anything. I swear to God that nobody in this army is going to eat anything before we basically have victory. I forget the exact details, before we have victory, right? And Jonathan, not hearing this, tasted some honey on the pursuit, and they were winning. They were winning the battle, chasing them away, right? And basically killing them as they were chasing them. And basically, things go badly after that, and they come back into camp, and God, through the lot, the Uman and the Thuman, which is the way they determined God's will back then, the lot fell on Saul and Jonathan being in sin that day, right? And then the lot fell on Jonathan. And basically Saul said, what have you done? And Jonathan said, well, I tasted some honey. And Saul said, well, you're going to have to die then because I promised God. Right? Very serious. But you know what happened? The men of the army refused to permit Saul to kill Jonathan. Right? The men of the army stepped in and said, this man was a hero today, and in no way did he mean it or intend it, and so he will not die today. Right? So that leads to some really interesting things about, you know, promises to God and consequences and other people, but we don't want to go far. That's all part of the mystery of walking up with God. But you know, we don't deliberately break a vow we make to God when it's that serious, right? And yet in this case, God permitted the people to step in and basically counteract what the king had chosen, right? So part of the mystery of the Old Testament, the mysteries of these things, right? But David, but Jonathan basically demonstrates his fitness for leadership. So he's positioned for the kingdom as we go forward. So he's standing in freedom. Then what occurs is really an interesting thing. So what happens now is one of these things where God comes into the situation, and now God has basically said, okay, Saul's line is not going to inherit the kingdom. Saul's line is not going to be king. Jonathan will not be king, right? And Saul doesn't like that, and so he's fighting this process the entire way. So why don't you go ahead and we'll talk about Goliath. Go to the next scripture, 1 Samuel 17. So again, the situation, most of you know it, is that the armies again are separated and the Israelites are not feeling good, and Goliath is coming out and challenging the Israelites every day. About 9 feet tall, right? Again, remember, he's got all the military gear. The Israelites probably don't, right? Or just the king, one or two do. But it's like an American soldier, you know, mocking now a lot of different third world nations, right? There's no comparison between the abilities. It's just crazy, right? And this guy's big. I mean, remember, brute force back then, 9 feet, big, right? And so David basically says, okay, why is this unclean person mocking the God of Israel? Okay, what's going on here? Something's got to give. This can't remain where it's at. This situation cannot stay, right? And isn't that an indication often of when God is ready to move? Is when our hearts and our spirits go, this can't remain. There's something here that's not done in the kingdom, and it's got to happen, yeah. Right? And so David basically comes out and says, he basically comes out and pulls his sling out, which he's used since he was a boy. And as he told King Saul, when Saul was worried that he's small coming out, you know, it's like David said, no, I've killed a lion and I've killed a bear. It's like I have faced adversaries, right? People are big, but you know, in terms of brute force, a bear's bigger. So he says, I've killed a lion and a bear, protecting the sheep. And so David comes out and uses his skills, using his sling, which of course they got really good at, because anytime you have to use something all the time, you're gonna get really good at it. And he basically hit him in the forehead and basically killed him, right? And so, 1 Samuel 17:50, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. So this is the incredible thing, right? So now we start seeing, you know, the honor and the power of David starting to come up in this process, and we see Jonathan here. And in the human world, you're going to have a conflict between these two, right? In the human world, you're going to have them fighting, because that's what leaders do. To get to leadership, you have to fight, and you hope it's a healthy fight, but oftentimes it's not a healthy fight. You have conflict because leaders are competing with each other to become the bigger leader, right? That's just how the world goes. In some ways, it's good because that means quality rises to the top. In some ways, it's bad when it gets greedy and selfish, right? So now you've got the potential for this competition between David and Jonathan to happen for the kingship of Israel, okay? So here's the tension starting to come, right? And the sharp people among the people were starting to see this already, because Because when we observe groups and when we're in groups, you're observing what's the dynamic and of what's going on. People are always observing what's happening, right? To be aware. I mean, that's part of what God is up to. God wants us to understand what's happening around us, right? We discern things. We understand them. We ask Him for wisdom. Here's the really, really interesting thing that occurs. So if you want to go to 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. So this Jonathan was a man that basically knew how to love, and he knew how to honor. How do I want to say this? He knew how to honor, because he saw honor in David. He saw honor in him. It's like you don't just love somebody because they, even if they defeat the hero of the enemy militarily, right? I mean, that's just a military conflict. That's just a fight, right? But you love someone because that you see honor in them, you see quality in them, you see worth in them, right? And that's what Jonathan saw. He saw worth, incredible worth in David, probably even more than his own in many ways. And he then gravitated. He said, it's better for me before the Lord, and even in light of the fact that I might be king, it's better for me to ally myself and to love your honor, because that's going to increase my honor and my freedom. You see what I'm saying? So the world says the freedom would be to be the king and to give orders to everybody, right? But that's not how it really plays out. That doesn't work. That's not where God's at. It doesn't work. The real freedom is to step into honor and to see wherever God is at and whatever He's doing in people, and to ally with that, to love that, to share that, to bless that, to encourage that, to build that up, to nurture that, to fertilize it, right? Plant the seeds. Harvest the crop. Share the crop. Bake the crop, distribute the crop, right? Whatever it is, everything. because honor begets honor, right? That's how God is. God is good. He's pure generosity. And so everything that He gives to us, even the challenges, are good, because that's just who He is. And so for us to step into that place of freedom and honor, the freedom is not to say, oh, I'm just going to do my thing, and I'm going to try to choose what's good and right for me and what's wrong, and I'm going to choose my course, and I want to marry this person, I want to marry that person, and this career is where I'm going to be, and all these things, and kind of get that arrogant tone. No, not at all. No, the honor is to see the honor in submitting in healthy ways. The freedom is in submitting in healthy ways, to come into honor, to join to honor, to build honor, to bless honor. All these things are so crucial. And this produces the life that God calls us to, right? This is part of being the life of the Spirit, the life of God, is to step into the freedom of saying, I'm going to immerse myself in God. I'm going to bring everything that He's choosing. I want to enhance that, encourage that, and really, really let my life flow come into that place. Because that's really who I need to be. So I need to become, right? I become the greatest I can be when I operate into God and with Him. I become the greatest I can be when I operate into God. And of course, words do no justice to the presence of the Lord often, right? I mean, many of you know just how intimate it can be, how powerful it can be when you're in the presence of the Most High, right? The one who created us, the one who throws the massive sun out there, you know, the one that created the earth, the beauty of the leaves. He throws beauty around in the fall. He just throws it on the leaves. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. And so Jonathan made the covenant with David because he loved him as himself. He's trading his human future, right, to be present with God and to be present with the one that God loves. And then, Twyla, if you want to go on to 1 Samuel 20. And so things become more and more tense between Saul, because Saul sees Jonathan's, you know, love and affection moving away. And at one point he actually throws a spear at him when Jonathan is basically defending David. And so basically Saul either tries to kill him or at least warn him very, very tightly. And so Saul sees it and becomes more and more erratic, right? More and more frustrated, more and more angry, more and more bitter. And he actually tries to kill David, and he either threatened or tried to kill his own son because he got so angry, you know, at what was going on. And so Jonathan continues to protect David, to encourage him, to kind of give him warning about where things are at. And then we get to 1 Samuel 20, 13b, "May the Lord be with you." And this is Jonathan talking to David. "May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." And so Jonathan is basically here saying to him, may the Lord be with you, right? First, period, he goes, as he's been with my father, but may the Lord be with you, period. And then the next sign he says, but show me unfailing kindness. He's basically saying, you're going to be king, right? God has anointed you, you're going to be king, and I am good with that, right? Please show me unfailing kindness, but I am good with the fact that you're king. I'm not going to try to fight you. I'm not going to try to oppose you. I'm not going to try to undermine you. But give me favor, but I acknowledge God has chosen you, and I acknowledge your authority. I acknowledge your position as king one day, right? And this is an incredible thing. This is the true freedom. It's the free. Jonathan understood the freedom to step into the spirit and to see things in the kingdom, to see things the way God did. And that is the true freedom, right? To understand God's perspective. Everything else is kind of coloring inside the lines in a way down here, right? But God is the one that puts, you know, the old color by number stuff, right? That's about the only way I could do it. You know, God draws the lines, and then we kind of color in the colors, right? But he's the one that sets the picture, right? And we are filling it in with love and honor and blessing. And so that's the true freedom. That's the true place of being able to settle into operating in life, you know, is to say, I have the freedom to do exactly what the Lord wants. I have the freedom to be exactly who he wants me to be. I've got that freedom. That freedom, you know, submission to God is not a bad thing. Submission to God is a good thing, right? But according to the world, I'm not going to fight for everything like the world does. I'm not going to press and push things. Now, if God wants you to get out there and compete, absolutely, go for it with everything you've got, because we want skill. We want competence. We want training. We want, you know, being aggressive in healthy ways, right? To provide for families, to provide for people. This is good. We want to achieve. We want to be absolutely the best we can be, because that's also honoring. But when it comes to relationships, when it comes to positions, when it comes to authority, it's like, no, it's like we are receiving what God gives us. We are stepping into what he's got for us. And we are very happy with that, because that's where life comes. That's where life comes. Life comes in that place of receiving what he has coming down for us. So it's an incredible thing. So it's an incredible thing. So let me just pray. So Lord, is there anything more that you have for us today? Because I felt like this was your topic for today. Just give me just a couple seconds here, if you would. No, I don't have anything further. Does anybody, this is a little different, but sometimes I do this. Anybody have a question? Really quick, anything that has come to mind as a question that you want to address here, talk through for a couple seconds on this topic? Okay, all right. So Father, thank you for your heart today. Short and sweet, I pray, Lord, that you would just affirm freedom to us today, affirm freedom and being loved and cherished and blessed. I pray that this day, this week, that you would show in each of our lives more and more freedom. Help us understand what you are stepping us into and give us more and more confidence in you, confidence of what you are doing, so that we're able to achieve and feel successful. Father, I just declare the feeling of and confidence of successful for those that have not felt that way, for those that feel like they don't achieve, maybe they always feel like they never quite do it good enough. Lord, I pray that you would give the great seal of affirmation, that you would help them feel and understand that they're cared for and loved and everything is good. I just pray that you would step into that in the freedom that you have for us, Lord. We just pray for that. Father, we just pray for those that are hurting today. We pray for those that are feeling difficulties in different areas. We ask you to undertake. We ask you to be very present to everybody among us that's hurting today or in challenges or difficulties. Be very present to them. Let them feel your heart. Let them know your heart. Let them understand your truth. Let them sense the glory of the Lord in the presence of the Most High. Father, shift perspectives today in Jesus' name to reflect the kingdom and reflect freedom and honor and blessing. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Todd again. Thank you for listening to the message today. I pray the Lord uses it to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Once again, that is tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the TGP podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.